Eye has not seen, nor has ear heard, neither has there entered into the minds of men the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. For He who spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him freely give us all things? He has done exceedingly abundantly beyond all we could ever ask or think, for we have the mind of Christ. And we will resume our study this morning in the two academies, the Divine Academy and the Satanic Academy. In order to prepare for this, we'll pause for a few moments of silent prayer. And this will allow you the time for rebound if necessary, and to make whatever mental attitude adjustments are required for your concentration upon our study. Shall we pray? Father, we are aware of the fact that You sustain us in this life, and we lift to You our gratitude for these provisions. Primary among them is that of Your Word encapsulated in the canon. You have provided for us a teacher in the Holy Spirit. You have given us free will to respond to His instruction, and it is our prayer that what we do here this morning will take advantage of these assets. And we lift our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. Joe Henry and I actually took a vacation last week. That's like number three since we've been married. We went down to St. Augustine, Florida, where there are quite a gaggle of Doritos. And these Doritos number about the size of what we have here this morning. And they have a bunch of kids that show up, and I think there's as many kids as there are adults. But they put us up in a very nice condominium. It overlooked a great big swimming pool. I look at pools. I do not get in them. But it was very nice. It went from here to yonder. And I learned about harvesting potatoes. If any of you eat potato chips, then you eat potatoes that come out of Northeast Florida. And there were other events that they put on, inviting us to shindigs at various homes, the Jameses and the Robinsons. And everybody showed up, and we had a grand time down there, and got to see St. Augustine on a train. Really wasn't a train, it just seemed like a train. It was a tram, I think they call it. Has wheels rather than tracks. So we saw St. Augustine. When I was 10 years old, I went there on a vacation with my parents and toured the fort that's called Castello de San Marcos, and went back and saw that, and it was smaller now than it was then. I did remember the cannon, and they did not fire one, but I understand they do from time to time. So we had a great time and got back in the wee hours of Friday night. So I'm back in the saddle again, and here we go with our Bible class, and what we're looking at are the Divine and Satanic Academies. You are enrolled in one or the other, but over the course of your life, you're enrolled in each from time to time. And we took a look at some of this as we engaged this study last Sunday. And we want to go back and review just a little bit of where we were so you can get into the flow of this. And then we will proceed. We had noted that the Divine Academy of Grace Didactics is the one in which you should be matriculating. The Holy Spirit is prepared to teach us all things, according to John 14:26. So if you're current on rebound or confession alone to God alone, then you have the Holy Spirit as your teacher. And this was promised to us by Christ. John 14:26 is a part of the upper room discourse that occurred the night before our Lord was crucified. And so his textbook is the Word of God, the Bible. And He will teach its contents to you if you are positive to His instruction. The curriculum for that academy covers the subjects of the 11 categories of systematic theology. The cadets to whom He is willing to communicate this divine viewpoint are believers, but they are filled with the Holy Spirit and therefore access the power of the Holy Spirit and therefore can assimilate the thoughts of God. Serious students become qualified, therefore, to execute the sophisticated spiritual life as a good soldier for Christ. You can be cum laude, you can be magna cum laude, or supra cum laude if you continue your pursuit of truth and therefore acquire sophistication in your ability not only to think and analyze from the Word of God, but to make application of it in your daily lives. In the Cosmic Academy, we have there the ability to enroll in the satanic curriculum. The false teachers are the ones who are part of its faculty. The textbooks include any source that will lend credence to the subject matter at hand, and often the Bible is misquoted or quoted out of context or given an incorrect application as a part of satanic concepts, and therefore delude people into believing that as they apply certain principles that they are informed about in the Bible, that they are executing the Christian way of life. And we'll get involved in some of those applications this morning. The textbooks include, therefore, almost any source, but also remember that it does include the Bible on occasion. The curriculum includes the doctrines of demons, their various categories of cosmic thought, and exercises motivated by either arrogance or antagonism. These are two of the central sins that everyone gets involved in and should be aware of. I've heard the colonel teach that the worst sin you can get involved in is arrogance, because involvement in it leads you to so many other categories of sin, because a person who is arrogant is very self-centered. Now, in the School of Arrogance, the Satanic Academy teaches several courses in Satanology that have to do with one's relationship toward self and toward others. In closing, last Sunday we noted legalism. This is actually one of the worst things in which a person may become involved. And there are so many denominational churches today that are engrossed in legalism, having certain rules and regulations that you have to go by in order to be saved, for Pete's sakes. And, of course, the Catholic Church, from which so many of you expunged yourself, you testify to me how works was assumed by that organization and by you as a cadet would get you into heaven. And that is a bold-faced lie, a part of the Cosmic Academy. It leads you down incorrect paths, but you are told you're doing the right thing and impressing God with your wonderful works. That is a ticket right into the heart of hell. So this involves emphasis on human achievement. A human achievement being assumed as something that impresses God enough to allow you to go to heaven. You are simply one individual out of several billion. And the several billion people that presently populate this earth is a drop in the bucket to those who preceded you and most likely those who will follow you. And that an individual can perform certain acts over the course of a very short lifetime to impress God, as far as his impact is concerned, is the height of arrogance. There's nothing you can do over your short lifetime to be so dramatic and have such wide and glorious impact that it would be worthy of God's ticket into hell, but rather into hell. So be careful about legalism. It's all grace, and if you can't orient to grace, then you're not really involved in this process. So it ignores the requirement of the filling of the Holy Spirit. Divine good can only be accomplished under the filling of the Holy Spirit and the application of pertinent biblical doctrines pertaining to the issue you consider. Therefore, it emphasizes making the world a better place, and you cannot make the world a better place. It's getting worser and worser, and it's not going to get any better. It is on the way to destruction. Every day that you live, this world is getting closer and closer to the ultimate chaotic, catastrophic conflagration. Don't ever forget that. There's nothing you can do to improve things. Now, there are people out there who are doing wonderful human works, things about which you could not argue. They go off to these foreign fields and they take food and feed the people. They go to foreign fields and build houses. They go to foreign fields and give them inoculations against dread diseases. Who can argue with that? And so, fine, have at it, wonderful. It does nothing for their eternal future. What they need is the gospel of salvation. And after that, should they respond, what they need is consistent instruction in the Word of God. That will supply them with the assets they need to enjoy the eternal future. And without the gospel and without Bible doctrine, all of these wonderful efforts that people engage themselves in goes for naught with regard to the eternal future of the individual. The Word of God is alive and powerful. It will change a society, a culture. A piece of real estate can be converted into a place of great prosperity. This real estate on which we rest, called the United States of America, contiguous 48, was dominated by a culture that could not progress because they rejected the Word of God. And you do know from our previous studies that Thorfalson brought the gospel to the east coast of this country in about the year 1000 A.D. And he was shot in the chest with an arrow for his efforts. And following that, this western piece of hemisphere was not again approached for almost another 500 years, during which those who populated this continent progressed not one iota toward any kind of spiritual advance because they had rejected the message. So what is it about the real estate here that is so important? Nothing. Real estate means nothing. It's who possesses and therefore progresses upon that real estate. And so when the Word of God moved in post-1492 and people began to bring that knowledge with them from the Eastern Hemisphere and therefore begin to establish a new culture on this real estate and then possess it and then pass it on to the next generation and the next and the next. Therefore, God honors His Word and will make prosperous those people who follow it and those people who live it. And once that thought is gone, the real estate can return to its previous status quo, on which we are rapidly charging. Legalism will destroy it. This includes observance of taboos, the legalism does. These taboos are designed by Satan to help restrain the activities of the sinful nature while promoting his global agenda of world peace and brotherhood. I will be like the Most High means I will be able to take human beings, although fallen, and through human good, I will mold them into a global society just as Christ has promised for his millennial kingdom. I will beat him to it, and I will do it with human good and evil. And in order to accomplish that, he has to get you to sin. And so there's a lot of sin involved, but Satan's not interested in your sin except for a ticket into the dark side, at which point he propagandizes for human good and evil. So the process includes the notion of spirituality by works by which one demonstrates his advance in the cosmic system. And you can look around and see people involved in this. And they're often very nice, sweet people who want to do good things for others, and they do. But it has nothing whatsoever to do with divine good and production that can prosper those individuals over the long haul and preserve the client nation in the process. It does nothing to accomplish that. It is spitting in the wind. The best process is to evangelize the lost, get them involved in the Word of God, and if they're positive to it, they will earn an advantage. And if they're negative to it, they won't. And that's the way it is. You either matriculate into the Divine Academy or you're enrolled in the Satanic Academy. Everybody makes that choice. And the next category of delusion is morality. This becomes a means of salvation for the unbeliever and a substitute for the Christian way of life for the believer. You may know people who are extremely moral. There are things that they simply will not do. Don't lie, cheat, or step on people's feet. Laverne Baker. And if you don't do those things, then you are considered to be a person who is a good Christian. Morality is not the Christian way of life. It is expected of everyone. That's laws of divine establishment, y'all. Everyone should obey those kinds of cultural standards. The unbeliever is expected to be moral. Go to the Ten Commandments and ask yourself the question. Are unbelievers not held to these concepts? Is it okay for unbelievers to murder people? Is it okay for unbelievers to commit adultery? Is it okay for unbelievers to rob people? Is it okay for them to lie on a witness stand? Does it only apply to believers and Jews? No. We have to get into a sophisticated level of thought that goes way beyond morality. It goes to Christian integrity. It goes to levels of thought and application that are way beyond basic morality. And so morality is not, I repeat, not the Christian way of life. Everyone should be involved in that. And to make morality the concept for salvation ignores the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is really moral arrogance, since all efforts are motivated by human viewpoint and produce human good. The motivation is wrong because it seeks to accomplish divine ends by human means and aggrandizes self rather than God. I knew a man in my hometown who worked for my good friend, and he was an unbeliever and would tell you so. He never touched a drop of alcohol, ever. Was it because he was trying to live a good life and avoid becoming addicted to demon rum? No, he had a medical condition, and whenever he ingested alcohol, he'd have a violent reaction to it. So without that kind of knowledge, he could have gone to the Baptist church and become a deacon. But he was an unbeliever, and my friend Bo tried to evangelize him as long as he worked for him. And he said, "I'm not interested." So what do you see there? You have a guy who, to the casual observer, was very moral, at least in that particular area. But it did nothing for his eternal future. Next area covers the satanic concept of crusades. This is an advanced course in the application of arrogance that seeks to whitewash the devil's world by means of human energy. A lot of crusades today. There are a lot of nonprofit organizations, 501c3s and otherwise, who are involved in human good. And so many of them are involved in performing acts and deeds about which no one could argue. But it has nothing to do with approaching the soul of the individual and presenting them an option out of slavery. Physical slavery places a person in a situation of where he is dependent upon a master, a slave owner, and therefore they do that person's bidding. A person can be in slavery, literally, but be free spiritually. A person can be a slave master and be free, literally, but in slavery, biblically. So where do you need to be? You need to be free by means of the Word of God through salvation and spiritual growth. And we're going to get to that point in our study if I keep moving. A crusade can emphasize any number of causes, for example, preservation of the environment. Well, it's really nice to pick up gum wrappers and beer cans. Okay, we would like to clean up your yard, okay? You don't want all that stuff strewn around, you know, washing machines on the front porch, that kind of thing. That is not environmentally acceptable. You should put the washing machine on the back porch. Who wants to see it? You should mow your lawn or have somebody else do it, as I do. I have a bad back from mowing the lawn. You want to paint your house on occasion. Some people put up siding so they don't have to paint. Curb appeal. But by doing all of those things, is it going to get you to heaven? A cadet is taught several doctrines of demons. For example, the earth is being destroyed by humans who breathe, drive cars, heat their homes, and run businesses. Run businesses, mind you. I had a man tell me he was in the potato business. And in order to get in the potato business, the investment price just to get started before you plant anything is $3 million. And then you hope the potatoes grow. And then you get them out of the field with all these gizmos that sort things out and get them to Frito-Lay. And you hope over a period of time that the Lord's good to you with the proper amount of rainfall, because too much means the potatoes won't provide potato chips. So you get washed out, you lose a whole year of harvest. I'm telling you, the people that are closer to God, closest to God, are farmers. Right amount of rain, not just rain or little rain or some rain, it's the right amount for your crop. And then when it's all done and you've finished everything, you've got everything paid for, you hope to make an average of $300 an acre. And if you're good at it and work hard, you can make a good living at that. See, what is the point behind all of this? You have to work. Free enterprise will prosper you beyond your wildest imagination, but it requires you to work. And if you don't work, the Bible says you don't eat. Now, there are about half the people in this country, 35 to 40% at least, are living off of your dime. How long can you go on a system like that? That means that you're living off of the absolute basics that a society can offer. You can't go anywhere with that. There are no raises of any significance. You can't save anything. You can't own anything. Yet the crusades of human good keep people in slavery to other people's dime. The cadet is caught in several doctrines of demons. For example, they breathe, they drive cars, they heat homes and run businesses. And it's hard work. But the Lord said, by the sweat of your brow, you're going to be kept alive through logistics. I will supply the right amount of rain. Okay, that's logistics. Why does it rain on one man's crop and not another? Etc. Get right with God. He will take care of you. So based on these lies, they're deluded by the rhetorical veil, for example, of global warming. The world is not warming at all. And what I mean by that is there's an ebb and flow to the weather. Always has been, always will be. It is a dynamic. It started in Genesis 1:1 and will continue. And it's heat rises and cold air sinks, and that's weather. It's just simple as that. So it's a rhetorical veil designed to conceal while it advances a hidden agenda. The hidden agenda is never taught to the cadets, since the rhetorical veil is designed to conceal it from the useful idiots. There's so much Marxism involved in this, it's obvious to the casual observer who has any knowledge of Marxism. Look, the whole idea is to control you. You can't do anything to hurt the weather. You're breathing. That's okay. You burn light bulbs. You stay warm in the winter, and you stay cool in the summer. What is wrong with that in an advanced society that God has prospered? Do you pay the bill? Then pull it down in the summer and push it up in the winter. The rhetorical veil of global warming plays on the emotion of fear. For example, we are all going to die. Well, you're going to die. May as well die free. And that's self-righteous arrogance. For example, I must do something to prevent it. I can do something to prevent it. The hidden agenda is the development of international laws, treaties, rules, and regulations that micromanage human activities toward the objective of establishing a global government. Now, I'll make clear about this. I'm not suggesting to you that I fear a global government or that somebody's involved in setting one up, humanly speaking. Lucifer has always been involved in setting up a global government. I will be like the Most High. That is his objective. He must achieve that objective in order to fulfill the fifth assertion. And therefore he continues to try. And he's got all of these rhetorical veils cooked up over time in order to propagandize people into following his lead. And he does it with human good. And he gives some kind of scenario that creates fear. We are all going to die. We have to save the planet. We therefore have to do this, that, and the other thing. And so that is Lucifer trying to use people to confuse them and delude them and move them toward the objective that he hopes to accomplish. And therefore we know he's not going to be able to do it or pull it off. The Bible says through prophecy he doesn't make it. He doesn't become successful at it. But he's constantly trying. And in the meantime, what he does is recruits people into the Satanic Academy of Cosmic Didactics. He is recruiting. And it's this form of human good that pulls people away from dependency upon grace and the provisions of God, and especially the Word of God. So that's why it's so dangerous. He can't be successful at this. It's not going to happen. But it is used by him to lure people into his academy and therefore become involved in human good and evil. By controlling the very raw materials and natural resources by which national economies function, means that satanically motivated people, manipulated by doctrines of demons, would eventually, in theory, control or manipulate all world governments. You know that diversity, as far as power is concerned, is a good thing. We had great diversity established in our Constitution where the states had the power. And therefore, there was power spread around the varied number of states. Now, there are 50. But if you can concentrate power away from the states and put it in the federal government, then the demon influence only has to concentrate its power and its influence in one small geographic area called Washington, D.C., while the 50 states become their slaves. Why is this? Concentration of power into one area, therefore we have a group of people, less than 600 people, have got the rest, the 315 million, in slavery. Well on the way to it, in so many ways. The nation hit hardest in this effort is the United States, and as a client nation is the obvious primary target for this assault. In the church age, client nations present the only restraint to Lucifer's plan of global domination, and that is noted in 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 1 through 12. We've analyzed that passage in the past. And it's very clear in that passage, as Paul points out, that until the rapture of the church, the restraint of the Holy Spirit will not allow this globalist idea to move forward. However, after the rapture of the church, it will gain momentum and great traction, only to be stopped by the second advent of Jesus Christ. So there are many crusades, but what characterizes any person involved in one of its involved in one is the belief that his cause is so right and just that he may with impunity use any means to gain his objective. And therefore people can become very violent in promoting their concept of what needs to be done. This allows him and his fellow crusaders to justify vigilante actions that include violence, harassment, and destruction of private property, or to lobby for laws that weaken the economy, cause loss of jobs, and drive people from their own property, or limit what they may do with their own property. So much of this has been accomplished in our free society. The Kelo decision is really prominent in it gaining momentum of late. The irony of crusades is that when the proponents of a cause find their personal interests affected, they blame the problem on somebody else, usually capitalism, a political party, or Christians. You are under assault. And do not be surprised by this. We are Lucifer's only real enemy. And that's why client nations are always under assault and why they need the Word of God constantly being taught to its people without hindrance, so that a wall of fire can be consistently deployed in order to protect that group of people and those who live within it. And therefore, do not be discouraged or dismayed by the fact that you are under assault. It is common to the angelic conflict. It is to be expected, and you just simply need the doctrine to stand up against it. And there are many, many different ways that you can be distracted, and those distractions are constantly there, and unfortunately, we succumb to them quite too often. The irony of crusades is that when the proponents of a cause find their personal interest affected, they blame the problem on someone else. And that is a problem that individual believers can sustain and enjoy. Whenever they foul up, they want to blame it on somebody else. Just confess it and move on and leave the other people out of it. Now let's look at Christian service. This is a course taught in the Cosmic Academy. This course teaches that works are required to enter into heaven, to impress or please God, or to promote oneself to others and thus acquire the approval of one's fellow man. You do not need to be worried about winning approval of your fellow man. Learn the Word of God, apply it, win God's approval, and let the rest figure it out. You're not here to impress people. You impress people when you apply the Word of God. There are some who will be impressed and some who will not be. You're not to worry about either. Impress God by applying the Word of God. That's it. That's your job. And when you get involved in Christian service to impress other people, you are in the Cosmic Academy. The assumption is if your fellow man is impressed, then God must be. Now, there are several schools in the Cosmic Academy. Let's take a look at the School of Antagonism. It teaches several courses in Satanology that have to do with one's relationship toward the plan of God. Let's take a look, first of all, at antagonism toward God. A lot of believers are involved in this. This is where the unbeliever gets mental assent to demon influence and demon possession, and where the reversionistic believer gives mental assent to demon influence. And this results in hostility toward God, Jesus Christ, the Bible, churches, Christians, and divine viewpoint. Believers get involved in this. They get involved in it because they move to an area that satisfies what they believe should be the Christian way of life. And when they move into that area and then clear, uncut Bible doctrine is communicated, they react to it. We have a small church because people don't want to hear what I've got to say. And I really don't have anything to say. I've got English teachers in the past who tell you I got nothing to say. I always remember Ms. Mary Hillier. She's the best teacher I ever had. She taught senior English at Troy High School. And we were supposed to learn Macbeth, and we were supposed to learn how to write papers and get the grammar and the punctuation and the spelling right, and I never could do any of those things. So I really had nothing to say, and she's always made fun of me whenever, she's dead now and with the Lord, but she used to make fun of me whenever in the gathering. She would tell stories about what I did in her class. We all laughed. And I deserved it because I was a warm body. What are you looking at me that way for? I'm not making this up. There are some of you in here that went through this. I'm convinced of it. It wasn't as bad as maybe you think, because I did graduate. But it was a rough road to hoe. Guess when I finally figured out what was going on? When I was 30. How old were you when you figured it out? And I'm telling you, the figuring it out had nothing to do other than realizing that it was the Word of God that was the most important thing in your life. And you pursued that and made it priority one. And then you realized how easy it would have been to have been a star student. If you just say, oh, that's all it took, huh? You actually read the stuff. Wow. All right, anti-establishment. Here the antagonism is directed toward all four of the divine institutions. This is anti-establishment. So you have to realize that there are laws, there are movements that are geared to destroy the four divine institutions. Volition is restricted by laws that micromanage the lives of all who disagree with the approved crusades. There's some things that you can't say openly in public, or you will be branded for saying so, although it is true. So you've learned to keep your mouth shut. You can destroy your entire reputation by telling the truth. And so you have to pick your battles. There's some places you just remain mum. Other places, led by the Spirit, you speak up. But also the incoming is always to be expected. No one can go to heaven except those who believe in Christ, faith alone in Christ alone. Incoming, and you just told the truth. Marriage is demeaned by expanding its boundaries to include homosexual couples or ignored by approval of adulterous relationships. Back in the day, we called it shacking up. Now they call it sleeping with each other. You're not going to get any trouble sleeping with somebody. The problem is when you're awake. That's when you got a problem. I was awake with Fred last night. That's a flare right there for mom and daddy. Oh, you were awake with Fred, were you? The traditional family is belittled by comparing it sarcastically to Ward and June Cleaver, or degraded to include relationships beyond husbands, wives, and children. My parents were Ward and June Cleaver. I lived that. I had great parents. Great place to grow up. Great freedom. But also great responsibility. You were expected to mind your manners. Nationalism is de-emphasized by global entanglements or undermined by the promotion of multiculturalism and diversity. In each case, the authority structure of each establishment category is discredited as intolerant and replaced with politically correct substitutes. Now, all four of these divine institutions can be easily seen to be under assault by the dark side. And the systematic tearing down of each will lead to the decline of the society, and therefore we, with a biblical worldview, can see we are in historical downtrends. And each of us are affected negatively by that, whether we participate in these things or not. And therefore, emphasizing the importance of those who are positive to the Word of God remaining so, remaining filled with the Spirit, growing in grace, and availing themselves of the consistent instruction of the Word of God, inculcation of it, and application to life. And without that, we're done as a society. And without that, we will lose the freedom to gather collectively here to grow in grace. We will lose it. And so your job is to fight this in your personal life. You can't do anything about the crusaders. That's God's problem. But do not be deluded. Do not be distracted. Do not be incorporated into a mentality of defeatism. There is no hope, and you seek to perform some kind of human good activity you think is going to correct or somehow delay this. You cannot fight this. God will not put up with it. He will take care of it. Your job is to grow in grace and to stay out of the cosmic system. That's what your job is. Cosmic panaceas. This course develops human viewpoint philosophies that promote human good and evil, designed to bring about social unanimity and harmony. And the people who thought this up, I will guarantee you, I will bet you $100 that whoever thinks this up cannot get through a family reunion themselves. The laboratory to prove the insanity of this is a family reunion. Go to one and stay in fellowship the entire time. I challenge you to do it. I have a couple in this church that claim they went to a family reunion recently and survived it. And if they were not telling a tale, that is the first I've heard of. And if you can't do that, how are you going to get along with people whose basic cultural worldview is entirely different than yours? How are you going to do that? Well, you do it through the 10 problem-solving devices, but believe me this, there is no exoterica harmonia. You're willing to allow people the freedom to believe what they wish, but you cannot be close bosom buddies with a person whose worldview is completely opposed to yours. And yet we have the cosmic panaceas. How is it a church operates? I mean, we got 2 states and 10 counties. The only time you see some of the people in your life is in this room. And then they go away as you do, and you don't see them again until you reassemble in this room. You don't know what their life is like. I mean, their entire environment is completely different from yours. So how do you get along? Well, I hate to use the term because it's, you know, there are terms that we noted in the past that are legitimate, but somehow take on a negative concept. You know, I can say to you that you're faith alone in Christ alone and you're a Christian. Well, Christian has become a negative term. Bible has become a negative term. Jesus Christ has become a negative term. So you've got individuals who could be a negative term to you. So how do you manage that? First of all, you have to advance to the point to where you have personal love for God. And if you haven't done that, then you've got a problem with dang near everybody. Life is not going to be comfortable for you. You're going to always have a problem with somebody, and you're not going to be able to resolve it in your soul. You're not going to resolve it in anybody else's. Just yours. And so in the cosmic panaceas, people want unanimity. You're not going to get that. Harmony. You're not going to get that unless you can subscribe to a biblical system that will produce that. Otherwise, it doesn't happen. The satanic program encourages equality without merit, freedom without responsibility, and respect without virtue. That's what the Cosmic Academy expects. And that is irrational. Now, how do you enforce that on a large level, on a national level? How do you enforce those things? Let's go back and note the three. A cosmic panacea is a satanic program that encourages equality without merit. How do you enforce that? With law. Freedom without responsibility. How do you enforce that? With law. Respect without virtue. How do you enforce that? With law. And when you have to pass a law to get people to do things like that, then what you're doing is creating an environment where no one is free. Those with divine viewpoint never have a desire to be treated equally except by the law. That's the only equality. You need to be treated equally before the law. And everything else is unequal dependent upon your motivation. Those with divine viewpoint do have a desire to be treated fairly. When treated fairly, a person is recognized and rewarded for his merits, his sense of responsibility, and his virtues. To treat people fairly means you allow them to display their virtues. Now, the problem with each of us is we have a sin nature. And with a sin nature, occasionally you're going to be, what, unvirtuous? How about these other things? Rewarded for your merits. Sense of responsibility. There's one right there. Are you responsible? Do you do what you say you're going to do? Don't tell somebody, yeah, I'll do that, and then not do it. Now, there may be a good excuse somewhere down the road. I mean, you had a heart attack, you were hit by a beer truck, whatever. There's sometimes you just can't get around to it. And like me, I can't remember I said I'd do it. And some of you say, "Will you do this for me?" And I say, "Sure." And then I have no recall of it the next day. And that's when you send the email. Now, I'm sorry that I have Alzheimer's. I do not intentionally tell you these things and then say, "I'm not going to do that." To be considered as equal to those without merit, a sense of responsibility or virtue, is unjust and thus unfair. To be considered as equal to those without merit, a sense of responsibility or virtue, that's unjust and it is unfair. And what does it do? It stokes antagonism within a society. And if you're not careful, if this goes too far, there's going to be a critical point somewhere, and that's what the cosmic system prays for, if they do any praying. Oh, Lucifer, may we have a critical point so we can impose all of these laws on everyone and thus create this society that we dream of nightly. Every law that imposes upon you an alleged moral concept, which is human good and evil, is designed to contort your soul into agreeing to an idea that has no virtue. No idea has virtue. No idea has virtue that is not presented in grace and managed by God. You have to pass laws on people's behavior other than those that are listed. I'm not saying you shouldn't have laws against murder. Don't misunderstand me. But we're talking about the human good approach here. You know, you should consider yourself equal to a person who has no merit or responsibility or virtue. And you enforce that, then that is slavery. And it's saying to you, we're going to impose upon you a cultural standard that is against your foundational beliefs, and we will force you to do that. Now, there are homes that do it. There are churches that do it. And there are states and nations that do it. And therefore, what happens when this collective idea of placing people in a vice, where does that come from? How does it affect individuals and families and groups of people and churches and businesses and sports teams and nations? Where does that idea emanate from? The dark side, from the Satanic Academy of Cosmic Didactics. It is an academy, and people go in there and they major in this. Star students. The next category is degeneracy. Well, since I'm on such a upbeat subject today, I do not want to enter into degeneracy without you having your caffeine. So we got about a minute here, so we'll kick loose here at degeneracy. And those of you who want to learn about whether or not you're degenerate, we'll see you at 10 till the hour.